Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier BOGO offer. This offer expires Sunday, March 24th. To order yours today, go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code GRACEBOGO.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We've got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice. Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone. I am Aaron Chadbourne in for Grace Curley. Not the millennial with the mic you were expecting. I guess I am still a millennial, though. I'm on that upper age bound of millennials. So much so that we almost relate more with Generation X, but we're on that cusp. Xennial, but it's still millennial. In front of Grace's microphone while she's off on spring break. Hope that Grace is having an amazing time. Do you think Grace has ever gone over the Francis Scott Key Bridge by car?
Over 30,000 vehicles cross the Francis Scott Key Bridge on a daily basis.
It's the Francis Scott Key Bridge, please.
Again, I say this all the time. Where does George W. Bush go to get his apology? Like, the guy was made fun of mercilessly, and you know, I supported George W. Bush at the time. He's evolved in a number of ways since then. But, like, they just let this go with Biden nonstop. And he did, and he addressed the crisis, and it is a somber moment. And, again, there are a lot of people. And they did say the cargo ship issued a mayday before hitting the bridge, which allowed them to stop traffic and reduce the number of casualties and fatalities, which I think is lucky for everyone. The people on the ship are fine, but it's the people on the bridge. And I think they said there are like something like six bridge workers who are still missing. So it's a dangerous job. And it could be worse, and we want to take it seriously, but listen, Joe Biden having to make himself part of every story. I mean, I know we agree that it's like this Grandpa Simpson like quality that he has where he tells these fake stories, including fake stories that he told to Robert Hur when he was being deposed under oath in the special counsel's probe of his mishandling, his willful mishandling of classified documents. He can't help himself from telling these stories. So he says, oh, I've traveled over that bridge many times by car and by train. There is no train that goes over the bridge.
At about 1:30, a container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware in our train or by car.
He said or by car. So, yes, by car. You've been over it by car because that's all that goes over it. And I'm sure he has gone by Baltimore on train. And so for him, that's the same thing. But do you think the media cut away instantly saying we're not going to perpetuate this misinformation by the president? Was NBC, like, did they get a call from all of their MSNBC hosts saying, please put Biden on the do not pay contract to list because he is now a liar and Jen Psaki draws the line at liars? I mean, again, I don't want to make fun of the president on a day, you know, that is serious where there is a tragedy, but come on, man. Like, just stop lying for a minute. Like, can we get through one press conference without this yarn about how it's really about you? I did tell you, though. I told you, Jared, that it was definitely going to be about him. Like, it's like a classic Biden story. And now he's going to go there and console all the people who are affected because he's had loss in his life. Like, that's what he plays that role and he enjoys doing it. And cool, like, you can use your personal turmoil. But maybe, you know what, who would be really good at that is a former president. So go be a former president. I think that's what Biden needs to do. Maybe he can use this event and say, in order to help the nation heal, in light of the Francesca Scott Key Bridge.
Over 30,000 vehicles cross the Francis Scott Key Bridge on a daily basis.
He could say, in order for the nation to heal, I'm stepping away. Now, he also did say that he thought the federal government should pay for the entire bridge. And he said that he's going to work with Congress to see that they do. What are you putting the odds of him successfully working with Congress? Like, better than 20% that they pass a funding deal.
And like 8 to 5, 2 to 3 out of 5.
I mean, they did. There was a comparison this morning on Twitter. Jake Sherman or someone was saying that in 2007, there was a bridge collapse and President Bush asked and it was unanimously passed by Congress. But this is not 2007. There's no way. Well, first of all, even if Biden had any sort of working relationship with the Congress. I don't think there's any way he has any credibility anymore. Mike Johnson's still going to deal with this motion to vacate for Marjorie Taylor Greene. Am I out of here, Jared? Maybe fact check this for me. Am I out of the mainstream, or am I out of the conservative base to think that Marjorie Taylor Greene is a bit of a wingnut? Like,
no.
Do Trump supporters actually like her?
I mean, there are staunch Marjorie Taylor Greene supporters, and again, she has some good moments where you're like, all right, but yeah, there's a lot of off-putting performative bluster. And
yeah, I think craziness. That's it. And if you're a Marjorie Taylor Greene supporter and you think that I'm wrong to not really like her all that much and respect her all that much, and it's not about the Trump support. It's not about, and she was one of the big vocal advocates for the impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas, which was well overdue. But I think it's because it was spearheaded by her and not by someone that people take more seriously that it floundered as much as it did until it finally got passed. But if you support Marjorie Taylor Greene, I want to hear from you. 844-500-4242 here on the Grace Curley Show. Because if this were brought by someone, but I had the same reaction to Matt Gaetz. And Matt Gaetz, I take a little bit more seriously than Marjorie Taylor Greene, but he's got his own problems and he always just wants attention. And so it seemed like the Kevin McCarthy thing was personal for him, not about what he thought was in the best interest of the country or of the Congress. And now with every single congressman like heading for the doors to the point that it very well may happen, we might wake up one day and enough seats have now either flipped or vacated in the U.S. House of Representatives that the Democrats gain control. Just think about that. Republicans started this Congress with, what was it, an 8-seat majority? They could afford to lose 8 seats, so maybe it was even more than that. They now are down to only one vote. And so on any given day, if someone's not there or someone dies, let's say they're driving across a bridge at 1:30 in the morning that happens to get struck by a cargo ship, that's it. That's the end. There goes the ball game. So, Congress. I think that's going to be my new question for people running for Congress, though. Because in Maine, I did earlier email you, Jared, and my autofill filled it in as Jared Golden. And so I was going to send him the poll question about Donald Trump, which was funny. And I wish I had now that I mentioned it. But I think I'm going to ask people running for Congress, like, are you going to finish your term? Like, we believe in term limits. I'm all for term limits. But I also like when people that we vote and send to Congress, like, it's a 2-year term. Is that a lot to ask for? If you tell people you're going to stay there for 2 years? We had the same thing with Shenna Bellows up in Maine. Shenna ran and got reelected to the Maine State Senate using taxpayer-funded elections. They call it clean elections. It's not clean, but it's taxpayer money. She spent tens of thousands of dollars on this reelection campaign, refused to get sworn in because once you're sworn in, you're not eligible to run for Secretary of State, then ran for Secretary of State, causing a new election that also had clean funding going in, more taxpayer funding. I just think that if you run for office and get elected, and let's say, I don't even think you have to, like, you know, if it's a 4-year term, okay, maybe you can leave early. 6-year term, all right, something happens. But a 2-year term, come on, man, like, finish it. Right? I mean, I felt the same way for Sarah Palin when she left early being governor of Alaska for no apparent reason. Nikki Haley left being governor early because Trump appointed her to be ambassador to the UN, which was a strange choice at the time because she didn't really have any foreign policy experience. I can understand why she did it. But maybe just finish. Just finish your term. That's going to be my new question for people running for office. So if you're running for Congress and you want to come on a radio program that I'm hosting, mostly this applies to the folks in Maine. But if any of you in New Hampshire, if you want to come on this show or Massachusetts, if you want to come on, I just want to know, if you're running for office, you're going to ask people to vote for you for a 2-year term, which is pretty short, right? Like, 2 years, like, is blink of an eye. 2 years, you can get through anything for 2 years. Like, I just want to know that you're going to finish it. You're going to stay there the whole time. Now, even with George Santos, like, George Santos, did he deserve to leave? Well, he'd been indicted. But Bob Menendez has been, like, they found gold bars in his pockets at his house from the Egyptians. Like, he was chair of the Foreign Service Committee. He is still there. He's still there. It doesn't matter. The corruption is real. George Santos, fine, 2 years, fine, whatever. You're one vote for 2 years, cool, whatever. But get rid of him. Don't get rid of him. But did we need him? Was he a threat to democracy? No, you can withstand anything for 2 years, but just finish the job. Just do it. on Fox News, they're just showing the raid at Ed Diddy's house. Do we call him Diddy now, or Puff Daddy, or P Diddy?
Lately it's been Sean Diddy Combs. All right, so he's being referred to.
At Sean Diddy Combs, he apparently is a sex trafficker, so we'll have to look into that. I have not really followed the story, other than they raided several of his homes. His private plane was at some island in the Caribbean, but he wasn't there. I think they've spotted him in Miami or whatever. Like, he's been spotted, so I think he's in the U.S. So I got to follow up on what's going on. Did it surprise anyone, though, that, like, you hear about Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, Sean Diddy Combs being, you know, I think that's pretty predictable. I do want to, you know what I didn't play? In the earlier segment, I didn't get to Rachel Maddow, so I want to make sure that we do that. I want to check back and find out if Ronnie McDaniel still does have her contract. This could be, this bridge collapse is giving great cover for Rana behind the scenes to be negotiating her exit from NBC. It will be they announced it on Friday, so it'll be less than a week. It'll be, again, it's a quicker departure than Claudine Gay, I think, because she's a Republican. But I think it's going to be maybe as handsome of a payout as Claudine Gay. So if Ronna McDaniel, this could be a big week for her. Forget playing the Powerball and the Mega Millions. Just go get a contract with NBC News as an analyst and then ask Rachel Maddow to blow it up for you. I think that's what we're going to find out. I want to know how much the pay is. Do you think we'll find out? Do you think we'll know how much they pay her to go away?
I think it will somehow get leaked by someone, or public disclosure type thing.
I hope that it does. I want to know. I want to know how much she gets, and I think she's going to be rewarded handsomely. We'll check in on that.
Scarborough's hanging out by the fax machine, waiting to see if something comes up, or, you know, he's scanning through files now.
But Jared, there's one part of this that I just can't quite get over, which is all of the paid talent on NBC are upset that she's getting paid, but then say because she's being paid, now you can't trust anything she says. So if she's getting paid by NBC and you can't trust anything that she says, what about all of you who are being paid by NBC? Like, do they not hear themselves?
NBC is paying a liar.
Also, I love how, like, they're like, and we will not let her on the air on MSNBC. Like, nobody's watching you.
Don't do her any favors.
Like, right? Like, I mean, after the way that Kristen Welker spoke to her, like, you think she's really bummed that she doesn't get to go talk to Joy Reid and Lawrence O'Donnell? Like, I mean, are you kidding me? And also, if you're the former chair of the RNC, like, are you really excited to go on Jen Psaki's show? I say that knowing that I host a conservative talk radio show, and I get Democratic officials from the Maine state government on my show all the time, including Shana Bellis, who I had that day of the ruling that she had. But Maine's a smaller place, right? Like, we're a tight-knit community. I think Ronna McDaniels is probably better off than the person winning the Powerball this week, which is over $1 billion. Are you playing? Do you play when it's the big jackpot?
I don't really think about it, but I heard today that it was. So, yeah, I'll probably buy a ticket for each. I just play one number or one line of numbers for each.
I mean, your odds don't really change whether you buy one or 20, right?
Yeah, I figure if it's going to happen, it'll happen.
A voluntary donation to the government. All right, so we'll check on that. We'll check on Ronna McDaniel. We'll do a lot more of that when we come back. My name is Aaron Chadbourne. I'm filling in for Grace Curley all week, and this is The Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
617 texts in and asks if Joe Biden ever worked on a cargo ship. How long before he starts telling stories about it? I mean, it's nice the president. It's nice that he actually acknowledged a disaster that's happened that's affecting real people. But I mean, he always has to write himself into the story. Unlike Donald Trump, which Donald Trump, everything is about Donald Trump. He is the center of attention. He is the center of everything. And he's convinced they're out to get him. It's not a conspiracy if it's true, Jared. Which brings us to today's poll question. Today's poll question brought to you by the Nassau Beach Inn. Book your spring stay at Nassau Beach Inn with April rates starting at $249.99. Reserve your pet-friendly ocean view room with a fireplace. Go to NassauBeachInn.com. That's NassauBeachInn.com. All right, Jared, hit me with the poll question and tell me the results thus far.
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is, do you agree with Trump that Biden and his thugs are behind the prosecutions as a form of election interference? Yes, it's a coordinated conspiracy. Yes, but only because the judicial system has been overtaken by progressives with Trump derangement syndrome, or no, it's on the up and up.
All right, I'm filling it out online right now. I'm saying yes, it's actually a conspiracy theory.
75% of the audience says yes, it is a coordinated conspiracy. 24% say yes because the judicial system has TDS. 1% say no, it's on the up and up.
Down from 3%. There is hope for Grace's audience yet, so congratulations to all of you. But if you have, we would love for you to fill it out. Go to gracecurlyshow.com, fill out today's poll question. So I mentioned on MSNBC, you don't really have the pulse of what people are saying until you hear it from the horse's mouth. The horse in this case being Rachel Maddow. I'm sure she probably took kindly to Ronna McDaniel being a paid analyst. Let's hear Cut 15.
It's my understanding that MSNBC's leadership did not object to Ronna McDaniel being hired by NBC News when the matter first arose. But when the hiring was announced, and MSNBC staff essentially unanimously and instantly expressed outrage, our leadership at MSNBC heard us, understood, and adjusted course. We were told this weekend in clear terms, Ronna McDaniel will not be on our air. Ronna McDaniel will not be on MSNBC. And I say that and give you that level of detail because there has been an effort since by other parts of the company to muddy that up in the press and make it seem like that's not what happened at MSNBC. I can assure you that is what happened at MSNBC. Ronna McDaniel will not appear on MSNBC. So says our boss since Saturday, and it has never been anything other than clear. And I will also say, you know, if you care what I think about this, I will tell you the fact that Ms. McDaniel is on the payroll at NBC News, to me, that is inexplicable. I mean, you wouldn't hire a wise guy. You wouldn't hire a made man like a mobster to work at a DA's office, right? you wouldn't hire a pickpocket to work as a TSA screener. And so I find the decision to put her on the payroll inexplicable. And I hope they will reverse their decision. And it's not about, you know, Democratic Party, Republican Party. It's not about partisanship. It's not about right versus left. It's not about being a political professional versus some other kinds of person. It's not about being mean or nice to journalists. It's not about just being associated with Donald Trump and his time in the Republican Party. It's not even about lying or not lying. It's about our system of government and undermining elections and going after democracy as an ongoing project, right? And this is a difficult time for us as a country.
Wow. It is a difficult time indeed for Rachel Maddow. There's so much to unpack there. I really should have played this during a longer segment because that was a lot. Maybe I'll break it down. Maybe I'll do one of those like expository essays on each comment made there. My favorite one, though, is Rachel Maddow calling out NBC for lying and putting out fake news. So you, the defenders of democracy, the defenders of the free press, you yourselves are saying your network lies. We'll dig more into that when we come back. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for Grace Curley.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
We are back here on the Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne filling in for Grace. We wish her and her family a great spring break. It is now being reported by Puck News. Dylan Byers is the scoop that NBC News plans to drop ex-RNC chair Ronna McDaniel as a paid contributor following on-air revolt from MSNBC and NBC talent. Executives are said to be deliberating over details, announcement pending. Meanwhile, McDaniel is seeking legal representation. Color me shocked. I did. I thought, again, I thought it would happen yesterday. I thought we would see this leak yesterday, everyone predicting it. But they went into overdrive on the air on MSNBC trying to get her fired, trying to have it undone. Again, she's seeking legal representation because they're going to have to pay her out. Like, they did this contract, and now this is doing reputational damage to her. I mean, there's the old saying that no news is bad news. At least they're talking about you. And so she's going to get a pretty handsome payday one way or the other. Again, I liken it to like winning the Powerball. I would love for NBC News to offer me a contract and then cancel it and pay me out. I would take it. I would do it.
You're going to have an opening.
Well, what did Chuck Todd say? Lend the credibility of NBC. Like, I wouldn't want it. Like, especially after Rachel Maddow, just in the clip we played before the break, telling us that they can't be trusted. Like, NBC is not telling the truth about MSNBC and their leadership and their decisions. If we can't trust NBC to tell us the truth about MSNBC, like, what can we trust them over? I mean, Jen Psaki does say that she is not a lying liar. Let's hear cut three again.
The border remains closed. It is not open.
That's right. That's right. Jen Psaki, the standard bearer of truth. I did want to, I know I'm already now, 20 minutes ago, they're now saying that I've been right all week, saying that Ronald McDaniel is going to be let go. But I did want to check in on Lawrence O'Donnell. Like, how is he doing? Do we have a cut from him?
She called me a propagandist, but I've been called worse. She was not hired by MSNBC. I found out about it on Friday when it was publicly announced. I stopped inviting Trump liars like her on this program in 2016 because I've never seen a satisfying, successful interview of a Trump liar and have never thought that I alone could crack the code of how to interview a Trump liar. They are fast and furious liars, and I doubt that I could keep up. I would never interview Ronna McDaniel as an expert on Republican campaigns the way I frequently interview my longtime friend Stuart Stevens, who ran her uncle Mitt Romney's presidential campaign. MSNBC will not use Ronna McDaniel as a political analyst, but I do have a few questions.
I love how he name drops someone that no one's ever heard of.
Right?
I will interview this former Republican, now Democrat, that I like. I mean, and that whole defense that Rachel Maddow just gave of, it's not about liking Trump, it's not about being conservative, it's not about telling lies, it's about the fact that you undermine democracy. Okay, but MSNBC regularly has on the secretaries of state who, during COVID, changed election law without authorization by their legislatures, that use COVID and their emergency to really change the way that people vote, thereby undermining American faith in our election system. I mean, that's how it happens. The MSNBC is as responsible as anyone else for the fact that many people don't believe that we have free and fair elections. And yet, Ronna McDaniel, Mitt Romney's niece, which Lawrence O'Donnell reminds us, she's a bridge too far because she's a, what did he call her? A Trump liar. A Trump liar. Now, the reason why Rachel Maddow says that she can't come on MSNBC is because of the 2020 big lie, right? The big lie, the election was stolen. And that's undermining democracy. They're democracy underminers. But then why hasn't Lawrence O'Donnell been willing to have them on since 2016? Right? Like, the flaws in their own logic and argument, it's worse is, and I didn't pull any of the sound from it, and I don't think any of it's that good, so I probably won't. But yesterday there was a briefing at the White House with Karine Jean-Pierre and Admiral John Kirby. And they got asked similar questions and gave opposite answers. I mean, it's like, do you guys even, like, you know, talk to each other before you do the stuff? And maybe they don't, right? Because, I mean, I host this show. I'm filling in for Grace. I don't necessarily check and talk to Howie and say, like, what are you going to talk about and how are you going to talk about it? Because that's maybe how a show works. You actually take your own take on it and you bring it to the air. But if you're going to tell us why at NBC or MSNBC, it's this is the party line, this is why it's not allowable, maybe get your story straight. Like, if you're going to lie to us, like, maybe you should just, and that's why the truth is always easier than a lie, is because you don't have to get the story straight. You can just tell it. But I hope Ronna McDaniel gets a big payday. I don't like Ronna McDaniel. I don't care about Ronna McDaniel. I would never watch to see what she had to say. Although I did watch Meet the Press on Sunday. So Maybe I'm wrong. But I wouldn't tune in specifically for her because I don't care what Ronna McDaniel thinks. I don't think she's particularly good at a lot of things. But I do hope she gets a big payday from NBC because it was stupid of them to hire her. It's stupid of them to cave to the pressure. It's just like what happened at CNN, though, right? When the what was the guy's name that they brought in?
Jason Licht was, I think, the new, after they got rid of Zucker.
Yeah, Jeff Zucker. They tried to like move it to the center, and then they interviewed Trump, and they all melted. Although Kristen Welker, in her very first Meet the Press as helming the show, who was her special guest? Donald Trump. Because they need him for the ratings. They need him for the ratings. They're happy when it serves their objectives. But the second that they can brand all conservatives who've ever, you know, voted for Trump as lying liars, MAGA Republicans, as people unfit to participate in society, and that's what they do. A texter did text in, by the way, and I have to ask, because I asked people who like Marjorie Taylor Greene to please let me know why. And texter 617 says that I should have Marjorie Taylor Greene on the show, and she'll explain her position. See, I don't have a problem with her position. Like, I think her positions are actually kind of fine. She explained it well. She's aware of the majority this morning on Real America's Voice. Okay, so she's been explaining it. She's quite a fighter. She's intelligent. She put the new speaker on notice. He brought a bill at 2 a.m. instead of 72 hours like he promised. He's a nice guy, gentle soul. He's better than McCarthy because McCarthy was a snake. She and Matt Gaetz are the Freedom Caucus, Trump's best allies. That's fine. You can like them because they're Trump's allies. I just think she's a bit unhinged. Like, I would like to see someone comport themselves in a way that helps build credibility. Maybe like Mike Johnson, but Mike Johnson, I mean, I haven't seen much from him. And I think it's fine. I'm not even criticizing her for bringing the motion to vacate. Like, go for it. I think it's stupid to have a one-person threshold for a motion to vacate because it leads to dysfunction. And that's fine. If you're in the Freedom Caucus, that's fine too. But I think Republicans are just bad at negotiating. Like, that's my big objection. And Donald Trump, when he ran the first time, he talked a lot about being a good negotiator. And I think that's what we need, and that's what's important. But Freedom Caucus and Republicans, like, you've got to settle on a couple things that you want. And fair enough that they only had a few hours to read the bill before they had to vote on it. That they always want to return to normal order. But if you take things to the 11th hour and you negotiate until their time is running out, sometimes there are rush deadlines. So maybe he shouldn't have made that commitment to them, and he has to go and explain himself and explain why it's not. Fine. Fine to be mad at him. Fine. I just think a one-person threshold is dumb. And then Freedom Caucus, or whatever caucus of Republicans, all the Republicans in the Congress, could you just come up with one or two wins that if we got, we could actually make a difference at the border? I mean, HR2, they passed it. I get it. Like, they have their solution. Democrats haven't engaged. But if you're going to hold either the budget hostage or Ukraine aid, you're going to have leverage, which you do. You had it in this budget. You had it on Ukraine funding. Make your negotiation simple and make it clear. It's kind of my problem with the military these days is when we go to war, when we have these ongoing conflicts, we can never define what success looks like. So how do you declare mission accomplished if there was never any clarity on what the mission was to begin with? And that's what Republicans need to do. They need to become better negotiators. All right, I'll end my rant there. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, filling in for Grace. You know where you don't have to negotiate, Jared? You don't have to negotiate to get a good deal at the Nauset Beach Inn because they have great pricing and great specials going on right now.
Yeah, and I would recommend within the next 72 hours, make your reservations now because the rooms go fast at Nauset Beach Inn, and they've just opened reservations for spring. You can get a room at the Nauset Beach Inn from $249.99 a night for April, and in May the rates are $259.99 a night. That's a great price for a great place, the Nauset Beach Inn. I've been there, as have many people on the Howie Carr Radio Network. My wife and I went down there. We loved how tranquil it was. We loved being able to go on the beach. We went in December, which is the off season, and that's the time to go because you don't have to, you know, jostle for position on the beach. We sat by the fire pits outside. We drank our morning coffee. We watched the sunrise. The views are fantastic. You can walk the beach. They have hiking trails. There's plenty of stuff to do. They're pet friendly, which is great. So you can bring your dog down there and let him run free on the beach. Every room has a fireplace and a picture window in case it gets too cold or it's too rainy. So you can still enjoy the coziness of the Nauset Beach Inn. And you know what? Check-in is contactless, which is great. So reserve your Ocean View room now. That's starting at $249.99 a night for April and $259.99 a night for May. Go to NausetBeachInn.com. That's NausetBeachInn.com.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
We are back on The Grace Curley Show. I am Aaron Chadbourne, filling in for Grace all week while she is on spring break. Do you think she's bought her shares in DJT, in Trump Media, now publicly trading on the NASDAQ? It is up, by the way, to $73.89 after opening, I think it opened around $40. So it's almost doubled.
It's amazing how this guy who just sits around all day throwing cheeseburgers at walls and watching Animal Planet can actually be a good businessman. I don't get it.
Remember when he created the NFTs? Like, which I still don't understand why people like, and then the gold seekers. I mean, Trump just has a way of cashing in on his brand, and that's what he's been good at. He builds a brand, he's consistent with it, and he cashes in. And all of these people who claim that he's actually poor or that he's not a billionaire, he's not even a millionaire, like, it's all of Joe Biden calling Donald Trump like broke Don and Don Corleone. And they're doing everything they can to take his money.
Yeah. And I bring this up with Grace, like, oh, he's not really a billionaire. Okay. Do you care? Like, I don't care if he actually has money or not.
He travels by helicopter.
Yeah.
Like, and private jet. Like, that's enough. Like, whatever, however he pays for it. The other thing, too, and I didn't really get to talk to this yesterday when I was talking about Meet the Press, is they spent a long time, Kristen Welker, when she had Ronna McDaniel on, the disgraced former RNC chair, Ronna McDaniel, Trump liar, Ronna McDaniel. When she was on Meet the Press, they spent a long time about whether Ronna McDaniel thought it was appropriate for Donald Trump to use campaign funds that he got from donors to pay his legal fees. And you know what Ronna McDaniel's position was? As long as he tells them that's what he's going to use it for, and they know about it when they donate, then sure, of course it's fine. And that's exactly what happens. He says, I'm going to use your money for my legal fees. And then he does, and people keep donating to him. Like, cool. Like what is the ethical problem there? Now, if you were saying that you were going to use it on commercials and you instead used it on legal fees, yeah, you'd be misleading. But, I mean, he's telling his donors, that's what I'm going to use it for. I don't see the problem there. But they can't wait. They got to play this gotcha game every single time. It's not like he's George Santos and he's stealing their credit cards and like running them up or whatever it was. What didn't George Santos do? We got to check in on him. I bet his campaign filings are going to be fun. Like, he's running now, but not as a Republican, because that's a bar too low even for him.
It is I, George Santos.
I told you, I wanted to buy Grace a cameo from George Santos when it first came out, and he was doing him for like, I don't know how much it was at the beginning. It was like maybe $200. And I was like, okay, would I spend $200 on a gift that's funny, that's going to get some traction and replay and whatever? And then it went up to $350 and I was like, nope. And then it was $500 and I was like, no, forget it. Absolutely not. And
seriously, I'm going to roast you.
It's come back down. But then he got in that whole argument with Jimmy Kimmel about Jimmy Kimmel sending him the fake requests. And so I don't need to get sued by George Santos. Although it would be funny. It would be funny to get sued by George Santos. Anyway, I did ask people to call in about Marjorie Taylor Greene, 844-500-4242. Looks like Joe has done that. Joe, welcome to the Grace Curley Show.
Hey, yes, welcome. Great job, and thank you for taking my call. I like Marjorie Taylor Greene because she's willing to get up there and throw dirt back in the Democrats' faces where, you know, we just run and hide and crouch down in the corner and wait for the attacks to go away. But I like her. I like the fact that she goes right at him at the jugular, and we need somebody in our party like that to actually say the things that some of these upscale, too tight Republicans wouldn't get caught saying. But the fact that she's willing to gouge your eyeballs out, I like it.
Well, there you go, Joe. Thanks for the call. Appreciate the perspective. You do need a street fighter. I get it. I get the argument. Again, I worked for Paul LePage. He was a bit of a brawler himself, and I think people did have similar criticism of him. But he was very thoughtful, and although I guess he did act out from time to time. I do believe there's a place in the ecosystem for Marjorie Taylor Greene. I think, you know, you do need one of those in the toolkit. It just sometimes, like, I don't see her as like a leader. I guess that's it. I think she's kind of like, you know, kind of special player that, like, you know, has a very special role to play. And so there's a place for her in the ecosystem. I'm not saying that she should be banned or censored or all that weird stuff that the left tries to do to everyone they don't like. But, like, would I pick her as my spokesperson? Probably not. Like, she wouldn't be my preferred go-to. But sometimes you need someone who's willing to do it. I do agree with that. Like, you do need someone who's willing to do that. When I worked for Governor LePage, there were members of our Republican caucus that wouldn't. You're right. They were afraid of their shadow. They wouldn't stand up for themselves. They wouldn't defend their beliefs. They wouldn't defend their voters who sent them. And so you do need people that don't have the fear and do have the courage. So I get it. She's still not my favorite, but I appreciate the explanation. That was helpful.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, you need like a Dennis Rodman on your team if you want to win a championship. You just don't need the bridesmaid dresses and kicking cameramen. Like,
or like the friendship with the dictator of North Korea. Like, what was that? Dennis Rodman. Did he marry Carmen Electra?
Yes, he did, actually.
I was thinking this morning that, remember, Diddy... Puff Daddy, Sean Diddy Combs is in the news because his homes were raided, prior to sex trafficking, which is terrible, and they should throw the book at him, if true. But didn't he date J-Lo? Remember, like, when she was, like, going through, wasn't there a big... I mean, J-Lo just did this weird music video, but it wasn't a music video, but it wasn't a film about... And it was to her song. It's all about Ben Affleck being, like, the answer to her problems. And you just forget about what a disaster her life and her dating life was. Maybe that's a reason not to become a celebrity. So that, like, A, when you have cancer and you want to go and take some personal time, people don't get upset at your very bad Photoshop jobs trying to hide the truth. There was an Onion story. In the Onion, did you see it about Prince Andrew? There was an Onion headline. I'll have to read it. But it said, Prince Andrew says that all of the pedophile charges were just the royal family trying to cover up that he too has cancer, which is a terrible joke. And Prince Andrew, it seems to be a reprehensible human being. But that's, you know, the royal family and their PR team and their operation has just been great at destroying credibility. Although I will tell you, putting that video out on a Friday, by the time we got to Monday, we had much bigger fish to fry with Ronna McDaniel and getting her off the airwaves at NBC News. I got to follow up on that Dylan buyer story to see if there are more details yet to what's happening, but hopefully she does have good counsel. I think she should get good counsel. She should get Claudine Gay's lawyers to negotiate, because Claudine Gay, as far as I understand, she left the presidency at Harvard, but she's still a professor there, and she's getting paid the same as if she were still president. Which that happened in Maine. There was a university president they hired at University of Maine in Augusta. And he had some Joe Scarborough-esque HR problems at his former job that were undisclosed, didn't tell the faculty, and they didn't look into it. And so they fired him before he even started. But they said, we'll pay you out your contract. If you can't find another job, we'll keep paying you. So they had to hire a new president. They had to keep paying the old guy. And, like, you think he's going to find another job? Like, you've just run his name through the mud. And also, you're paying him six figures to not find one. If he finds one, that, like, gravy train is over. I think those are the types of counsel that Ronna McDaniel needs. Hopefully she's finding them. We're not that worried for her. When we come back, we'll bring more. And later in the show, we'll talk to Toby Leary. Stay right here on The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for Grace.